All right, people, assalamu alaikum and hello to all of those watching. This is Yusuf Rizza. This is Let's Grow Quran Daily. We're moving on in Surat Fatiha with Rabbil Alameen. In fact, we're not going to talk about the entire phrase today. Today, we're just going to focus on Rabb. So, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We spoke about Alhamdulillah in considerable detail. Now, we're going to move on to the understanding of the word Rabb. And typically, as has been popularized, the understanding of Rabb has become that of a master. So when you conceive of a human being and Allah's relationship, it becomes that of a master-slave relationship. I have issues with that. I have serious issues with that because the popular understanding that you're putting out to the world is the very recent understanding of what masters were and what slaves were. And even when we do go on to elaborate and justify religiously why this relationship is the relationship, the only defining relationship that we need to understand our relationship with Allah, is when we go ahead and say that, oh, look at Bilal's relationship with his master. How in pre-Islamic Arabia, a slave was the property of his master, and the master could do with the slave whatever they wanted to, and nobody would question them. And that's practically what it is and how it is supposed to be understood in this day and age with respect to our understanding or our relationship with Allah. This kind of dictatorial, tyrannical, slave driver kind of an understanding is incredibly dangerous with respect to how, and incredibly inadequate with respect to how the Quran represents Allah as the loving, caring being that He is. Right? So to reduce the understanding of Rabb to just master is problematic at multiple levels. It would be very difficult for me to develop a personal relationship with him, considering for him to be a pharaoh-like, a Fir'aun-like a creator, a ruler like that. So that's not something incredibly beneficial, let's say. So what we have to conceive of, and if we have to use that master-slave analogy, then I think the best representation of that is the relationship that Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had with Zayd bin Haritha, that he was given to him, as was customary in that particular society 14 centuries ago, he owned him as a slave. But the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even before the beginning of prophethood, did not treat Zayd the way slaves would typically be treated there. So he has one, and that is customary to have one. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha had gifted him one, but he never deigns to the level of treating him the way that everyone else treats their slaves, to the point that Zayd had been, there's a whole history to it, which you find in the books of Sirah, as to how Zayd had been kidnapped by his own family, by his mother's side of the family, to get back at his father's side of the family. There was like some kind of tribal warfare going around, sold as a slave, eventually ends up in the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes care of him, and that's something you do not expect for a master to be taking care of a slave. And of course, the slave that he was supposedly performs his duties and responsibilities as well. Now, there comes a time where his uncle, and his father, I'm talking about Zayd. Zayd's uncle and father come to know of where he is, and they come back to purchase him, because even they understand that they're bound by that social law to purchase, even though he is their son, they want to buy him back. And when they come, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam completely refuses and says, no, there's no buying and selling going on. If he wants to go, he's free to go. He's your son, right? It's his choice. And this is the critical matter here. This is where this relationship ideally represents for us what we need to understand of Allah's relationship with us as human beings. And the choice that Zayd freely makes at this particular juncture, where he says, no, I am not going back with my own father and my own uncle. I am going to stay with Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And he's not even Muhammad Rasulullah at that point. His character, the way with which he carries himself in relationship to someone who is in complete ownership, that he has complete ownership over, according to the social laws, it is so immaculate, it is so incredibly inspirational that Zayd himself says, no, I am not true. I don't want freedom. I want to stay with him. And responding to that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that from this day onward, Zayd is no longer my slave. He is my adopted son. And there is an entire story as to what goes on, as to how the Quran doesn't allow for this adoption, for as if, at a legal level at least, to take place, that you can't give them your names. The rest of the treatment may be the same. Of course, they're not going to be legal inheritors unless you choose to do that. But that's a different discussion to be had when we get to that part in Surah Ahzab. But the idea being here, the choice that Zayd makes freely to remain with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of the treatment that Rasulullah gives him, that of love, that of nurturing, that of care. Yes, that involves Zayd fulfilling certain responsibilities. But from this day onward, especially after this father and uncle incident has taken place, it is going to be completely of his own free choice. That's the kind of understanding of Allah's relationship with us, is what we're supposed to nurture within ourselves. So when we talk about Allah as Rabb, yes, He is owner. Yes, He is master. But the kind of loving and caring that you would see the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam embody in his own attributes, in his own behavior, which is perhaps one of the reasons why his character, his khuluq, his personality became that personality that that revolutionized humanity for as we know it ethically, right? So that's what we understand of Allah's being Rabb of Alameen, and we're going to talk about that more in detail, but just very, very briefly, it is a nurturing relationship. It is a relationship of love and care, where the Rabb looks to bring whatever is, whatever comes, whatever is encompassed in their rububiyyah to become the best version of themselves. That's what the Rabb, understanding of Rabb would be. That their concern and love for all of their ibad, all of what falls in their control, so to speak. And that would necessarily entail, yes, controlling, but also letting go. Controlling and channeling and directing in the right directions, forcibly even at times, but not the kind of forcibly you would imagine slaves who are chained and being forced like cattle. No, but the kind of forcibly the way you handle children, you're carrying them, you're strolling them, right? You're canoodling them, you're holding their finger and taking them. That kind of control. And then letting go, as in when you let a child go with respect to letting them know how to learn to walk. Because if you keep holding on, that's not going to happen. So that kind of a nurturing relationship, that true embodiment of love, right? To the extent that the love of the Rabb, and love is very integrally part of the understanding of what Rabb is. That love leads you, inspires you to love him back, and what would loving him back entail, and we'll talk about that, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, it is to become what he wants you to become after he has let you go, after he has given you your freedom to make your choice, to choose to come back to him freely, looking to do what he would want for you to do, and then he would honor what you want for yourself as well. He would honor and respect your will at that level of when you return to him. So really, these are stages of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is real love. This is real love in a divine context, right? And in any loving relationship between human beings, interpersonal relationship, whether it is a father-child relationship, husband-wife relationship, brother-sister relationship, whatever relationships, we even between friends, whatever relationship you can conceive of, it is to, if it is to really embody love within itself, then it has to embody within itself this understanding of nurturing the other person, of leading them to become the best versions of themselves, acknowledging them for who they are and who they can be. And incidentally, this happens to be the definition of love that Viktor Frankl gives, that love is to acknowledge the other person for who they are and for who they can be. And in this acknowledgement, you will accept them and you will facilitate them in becoming who they can be. And that's Rabb to you. And in living that love interpersonally in a human-to-human relationship, we are embodying a divine characteristic, a sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embodying even before the onset of prophethood with respect to his relationship with Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And with that understanding being relived in every rak'ah of prayer when we recite Fatiha, it is the filling of your emotional need of love that is so desperately needed for everyone. And you have a real source to turn to reiterate to yourself, to remind yourself of every time that you pray. So with that, we end today's reminder and insights. Jazakumullahu khairan for watching. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.